Righty-o, let's pray and ask the Lord to guide us as we consider his word this morning. Our Father, thank you so much for how we can come and have your ancient and inspired and eternal word to open up and read. We thank you that we're going to be looking at a psalm written a long time ago, but we know that it's absolutely relevant and helpful for us even today. And I ask that you would help us as we look at this beautiful psalm, that you give us understanding and especially minister to us and help us as we consider the days we live in as well. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 2 years ago, on the 31st of January, 2020, a little contingent from Bazo Church here went on a mission trip to the Philippines. Some of us remember that? I remember it, 2 years ago. And I remember we went to encourage Isaac and Amy Street, who were ministering at Tondo, Manila, and we went to encourage them and work alongside them. And then after that, we went down to Cataclan and Boracay to do some ministry there and some teaching with pastors, as well as to encourage the Ati people, the native people of the Philippines who live down there. So there we were. And while we were there, we left, Perth to Singapore, Philippines, no problems getting there. Just, normal stuff going there. We get there and we start hearing about this COVID thing. And the first thing that we hear is, no more flights from China into the Philippines. And that's because of this Wuhan, outbreak. And so, and there were a lot of Chinese in the Philippines. And sure enough, while we're there, there's an outbreak near a shopping centre near us. So what is this COVID thing? We're all wondering, what is it? It's killing people. It sounds pretty dangerous. So then, blow me down, we go down to, Cataclan. And into Boracay, and we meet an American, young American man who's a teacher, an English teacher, who teaches English in China. So we asked him, where do you come from? From Wuhan. What? Put your mask on. So that's where he'd come from. From Wuhan. So we had to, I'll just shift that down a bit. We had to, make sure that he, kept his distance from us. Do you remember that, guys? Yeah, that was interesting. So, so there we were, and of course things are really happening very quickly, and within 2.5 weeks, when we were coming back from Manila via Singapore to Perth, things had really changed. When we were hopping on the planes these days, now we had to get temperature checks about 5 times, and body scans, and all sorts of things, and we didn't even know if we were going to make it back, but we did, fortunately. And I look at what happened back then and I think, wow, what a change. What a change occurred right back then. And I'm so glad we made it back. But as we think of this world that has changed so much, I want you to think about another word. There has been like a real shaking, hasn't there been? A shaking of our countries, a shaking of our governments, a shaking in economy, a shaking of our personal lives from what we call COVID. And shaking is not a nice thing to go through. But that's how we all feel, being shaken about. And how does it make you feel, being shaken about? Well, for many of us, it makes us become anxious, worried. We don't like it. We're not sure what's going to happen. We feel quite unsettled. That's how it is. And, it makes me also think of another story, going back to the Philippines story. When we were coming back, we were flying in from Singapore. And some of our group will remember this. We're coming in and there was very strong crosswinds at Perth Airport. They were peaking at 100 kilometres an hour, gusting. And so as we're coming in, do you know what happens when there's crosswinds that are gusting like that? The plane is moving a lot. We are being shaken in the plane. We are going, it's dropping out of the sky, then suddenly we're rising up and the stomachs are going everywhere. Kevin over here suffers from motion sickness. It's not good, right? And so here we are, and we're coming in, and the pilot has still abort the landing. And so he takes off and has to go right around. Now we are feeling, how we're feeling now? Anxious. Now we are worried, because this plane has to land somehow. Is that right? So he's coming in, hopefully things are better. No, they're not. It's worse, it's like we're going up, we're going down, we're going sideways, what's going on? Anyway, the pilot's committed. And he comes in fast. He hits the runway hard. There's a big jolt. And then a big strong wind blows the plane right over. I'm on the left side. it's like nearly touching the runway, the end of the wing. Like, wow. Anyway, somehow it all landed and we were very happy. We're cheering. But during it all, it was chaotic. I hate being shaken and disturbed, and it's horrible when you feel very anxious and nervous. And I just give you that picture because that's how it can be for us. But let me throw this in right now. If we love the Lord Jesus, if we know Him as our Lord and Saviour, no matter how rocky it gets, it is well with our soul. We know where our lives are going to land. It might be rough here on earth, but we're going to land in glory. And how good will that be? Praise the Lord for what He's done for us. So we're going to have a break from Ephesians. We're going to look at Psalm 46 today. Psalm 46 speaks about a shaking in the first three verses. Speaks about something that helps us when we're getting shaken, the stronghold. The stronghold. And then we're going to be looking at a special thing that we need to do, and it's called stillness, coming from that wonderful phrase, be still and know that I am God. I pray that God will minister to us as we look at His wonderful word this morning. So let's have a look at Psalm 46. I'd like to read the first three verses. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. And then in your Bibles you probably have the word Selah. Selah means stop, don't go any further. Consider what you've just heard or read. Well, Psalm 46, what do you reckon? Can you see a little bit of a shaking there? Look how the psalmist describes how life can be, especially in verses 2 and 3. He's talking about pretty significant things here. The earth changing, mountains quaking, mountains slipping into the heart of the sea, waters roaring and foaming. Well, you know what? When I read about waters roaring and foaming, I have a little flashback to 2009. Why does it always happen to us? I don't know. But here we are. We're on a cruise ship going from Da Nang, Vietnam to Hong Kong. And blow me down, what do we strike as we go across the beautiful, calm South China Sea? We hit a typhoon. No ordinary typhoon. It's a big typhoon. I remember the telemetry broke when the wind speed got to 170 kilometres an hour. Do you know what wind speeds of that do on an open ocean? Create massive waves, like 10 metre waves. There literally is the roaring and foaming of the ocean. Man, we were shaken that day. That big boat felt like a little cork in a mighty sea. And the whole place was shaking. The whole boat is twisting and you can hear the metal just being distorted. It was horrible when I think back and ceilings are falling down. It was a really challenging time, and I may never forget when we prayed and God brought us a beautiful calm during that time. But you know, the psalmist is not thinking actually of earthquakes and typhoons and cyclones or anything like that when he writes these words. He's giving picture language. And he, in his situation, is thinking of where he lived, Jerusalem, and how the nations were roaring. They were roaring and opposing Jerusalem. They were under the threat of war, of a mighty army coming and destroying Jerusalem. You find that out in verses 4 to 7. And so he felt alarmed and he felt distressed. He felt like the earth is shaking. He felt like that it's like being on an ocean in mighty seas. We're being shaken about. And that's how we can feel. And even though we don't live in Jerusalem, we have things in our own life that can shake us about, can't they? I mean, you think of all the big events in life that can happen, like the loss of a loved one, or the diagnosis of a terminal disease, or where you lose your job, or your money, or your house. There are so many things that can affect us. There are so many things that can really shake us and even test our faith during that challenging time. Isn't that true? We all face that as we live in a fallen world. And of course, COVID is on top of everything else that just normally happens in life, where there has been lots of things happen and our lives have been affected. So what are you worried about today? What are you so anxious about? What shakes you about? It could be COVID, could be the mandate for the vaccines, could be something totally different. But we need to own up to the things that rattle us and shake us. And you know, when I think of this whole world, I have to say to you all that this shaking has been around since the fall of man. You know that, don't you? Ever since the fall of man, way back in Genesis 3, we have lived during a challenging time, a shaking time, a testing time as we go through life. And we also know from our New Testament that this shaking would become more intense as we come to the glorious days of the Lord's return. Do you know that? I'm going to read some scriptures out to you about that. In Hebrews chapter 12, we read these words. God's voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." This expression, "yet once more," denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. What do you think of that verse? Hear what God is saying? Shaking. I have shook the earth, I will shake the earth, one day even the heavens will be shaken. And that's a prelude to the glorious return of our Lord Jesus. We don't like getting shaken, but we have been told how it's going to be. And then I can't help but think of Jesus' words in Luke chapter 21. In Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 27, we read these words. "There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth dismay among nations, in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with power and great glory." See the reference there to shaking? What a world we live in. But then verse 28 of that reading, Jesus says these words after that. "But when these things begin to take place," what things? When you're getting shaken. "When these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Wow! What do you think of that? Don't put your head down. Don't be dismayed. Lift your head up. Because Jesus says the day of your redemption draws near. The day when you'll go home to be with the Lord. I love that verse. I want to encourage you to think of that verse a lot as we go through a very rocky time. But now with that verse, verse 28 of Luke 21, I would now like to explore with you more of Psalm 46 and to see why we don't need to become unsettled. We can be settled. Why we don't need to be in a panic. We can have a calm if these truths that we read in Psalm 46 are true in our life too. So I've only really mentioned Psalm 46, 2 and 3. Let me go back to Psalm 46, verse 1, and then 1 and a little bit of verse 2, and then we'll read verses 4 to 7 as well. Psalm 46, verse 1. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear." Then verses 4 to 7. "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. Their kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold." So what should you be doing in the midst of all the shaking that occurs in your life personally? And what happens in our world, especially from COVID, you need to know someone called the stronghold. The stronghold. Do you see that in the scriptures there? Who's the stronghold? Who's the stronghold? It's the Lord God Almighty. And in the Old Testament, that's how God was pictured to the people. He's the one who's strong, who can hold on to you no matter how rocky things get. And I love when we come into the New Testament, we're introduced to the Lord Jesus, God's eternal Son, and we also come to see that He also, of course He is, He's exactly the same as the Father, that He also is our stronghold. In fact, last week we looked at a beautiful verse from Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, and we read these words, "For all those who have repented of their sins and received Jesus as their Saviour and Lord, for all those who have called on Him to save them, and who have committed their life to follow Him, this is true amen for them. And this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. We have been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. He's the rock. He's the one that we've turned to. He's a strong rock, an absolutely strong foundation. He will hold on to you and protect you no matter how rocky things get. Hallelujah. How good it is to know the Lord. How good it is. In fact, talking about Jesus in that light, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, we read, Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall never be disappointed. You will never be disappointed in the Lord. He will never let go of you. He's your strong tower, your rock and refuge through all the crises of life. This is for us to know and experience if we've given our lives to Christ Jesus. And I love how Psalm 46 is true for the Old Testament believers who put their trust in God, and true for the New Testament believers who we put our trust in God our Father and His wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Psalm 46 is just so full of life and truth. So as we think of that, what I read earlier from Psalm 46 verse 1 and 2 and Psalm 46 4 to 7, let me mention to you some great truths that come out of those verses. God is our strength. You're feeling weak, feeling beside yourself. The scriptures teach us God is your strength, your refuge and strength. Isn't that wonderful? Lean on him. God is our saviour. That's that lovely word we equate with Jesus. God is our saviour. How do I pick that up? Because it says God is our very present help in time of trouble. He loves to rescue us, not just from sin, but from all sorts of things that we go through in life. He's our saviour. God is the stream. That's in Psalm 46 verse 4. The stream that flows in us. The stream that brings us gladness and joy. Do you know that? That's why a Christian can have a smile on their dial, even in the most horrible situations they go through. There's a joy that's beyond measure, a peace that passes beyond all comprehension that we can know. And then it says in verse 7 and later on in verse 11, God is our stronghold, the strong one who holds on to us. I love that. You know, faith is about me holding on to Jesus, but the reality is he's holding on to me a lot more than I hold on to him. You know, it's like a son and a father walking along. And, you know, if the son's holding on to the father, he could break away. But the reality is the father's holding on to the son. That's how it is with Jesus. Holding on. He won't let us go. Praise the Lord. I just want to say how precious it is to know the Lord. How precious it is to be the grace, to be graced by his presence every day. Every time you wake up in the morning, you should be thinking of that and thankful that the Lord is with you. That's the essence of Psalm 46. The Lord is with you. He is going to help you. He's going to keep you. Psalm 46, because the Lord is our stronghold. What a stronghold he is. I don't know Psalm 46 verses 4 to 7 specifically speak of Jerusalem. Jerusalem being in danger of enemies coming against them. But we also are in danger of many things that can come upon us, including the things of COVID. And the reality is, no matter what it is, we are to have the Lord as our stronghold. May you know the Lord as your stronghold. And may you know the peace and the joy that comes from him as you trust in him. And I can't help, as I see that reference in verse 4 of Psalm 46, it says, There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And I can't help but think of the words of Jesus. In John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, John chapter 7, 37 and 38, Jesus said something magnificent, something so beautiful and wonderful. Do you know those words? This is what he said. If any person is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. There's a stream you want to know. The living water of God flowing through you, nurturing you, encouraging you, and filling you with peace and joy and delight. So is the Lord your stronghold? Does it show in your life when you become unsettled? Does it show in your prayer life? Where you're on your knees, Lord, I am being shaken about. I don't know which way to turn to. I turn to you. Be my rock. Be my strength. Please help me. This is how we are to be. It's meant to be very practical. In March 2019, Colin and I had the privilege to go to Jerusalem and to see the ancient city, to see the old ancient wall around the city. A big wall, strong wall, high wall. It provided protection for all the people in that ancient city. But you know, not even that high wall was strong enough. Many a time, I think it's 31 times, that city has been defeated. It's a wonderful picture of a stronghold, but it's still insufficient compared to the Lord God, who is a far greater stronghold when we have Him in our life. He's far greater. He will keep you and sustain you through all the days of your life. Oh, trust in Him. And now we come to the last part of Psalm 46. So let me read to you now verses 8 to 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Who has wrought desolations in the earth? He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still, or cease striving, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Now many of you will know verse 10. Verse 10, do you know verse 10? You often see it, in a painting, or you might have it at home on a plaque. Be still and know that I am God. And my translation has, cease striving. Stop striving and know that I am God. And this is a very important thing for us to take hold of. And I especially say that of you all, including myself, if you know me, how important it is to be still. Why do I say that? Because we live crazy lives. There's so much happening. Our whole world is like crazy busy. And our lives are full of activity. And this is an important word for us who live in the 21st century. Be still. Be still. Now I have a little laugh about being still. We have a beautiful little grandchild in our family called Zaki. Has anyone met Zaki? He is so active. He never stops. He's just like Colin, but me. Oh man. You should have seen him at Colin's 60th birthday party. Like, he's already active. Then he finds the lollies. He now goes ballistic. Wow. And then we went to the cinemas with him the other day to see Clifford the Big Red Dog. Well, his concentration lasted for 20 minutes before he is becoming the dog crawling all over the cinema. And I've got to try and constrain him and tell him, be still. All right, he's only a kid. He has to learn it. But I trust that you adults understand the importance. If you don't, you need to understand the importance of being still. As a Christian, you need to be still. Why do we need to be still in all the busyness of life? There's no way we're going to really appreciate who God is and what He's doing and what He's done unless we are still. We have to be still. In the stillness, we come to understand what great things the Lord has done for us. Like in verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord. How are you going to do that in the craziness of life unless you stop and be still? How are you going to know this great thing? Be still and know that I am God. What's that mean? I am God. It meaning, remember who's in control. Remember who's ruling and reigning. That can only happen when we stop. Get our eyes off the storms, off the COVID storm, off all the things that are happening. And we think about our God and we learn to be still. Do you know that when it comes to something very important in our life, there is automatically implied a stillness required. What am I talking about? Prayer. I know we can pray while we're driving the car. I know we can pray whenever. But we're meant to have every day a time of stillness prayer where we take time out to just be on our own with the Lord. Our Lord Jesus taught us that. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, He said, when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will repay you, or reward you. Isn't that really important? You've got to be still. You've got to shut the world out. Go into the inner room. Shut the door. and take time to be with the Lord. In that stillness, as you talk to the Lord, listen to the Lord, and let the Lord's Spirit help you, remind you of who He is, how good He is, how He's in control. That's what we've got to do. We must do this. I find so many Christians don't have the time. Or there would be Christians. I would. We've got to be doing it. And the other thing that we need to do is we need to read God's Word in stillness as well. How is God ever going to speak to us if reading the Bible is such a rush or never happens? And I want to read to you now from Psalm 1. Psalm 1. It says in the first three verses, "Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water." When I think of that passage, look what it's saying. It's saying two things. It's saying, push the world out. You know, look at it. The path of sinners and the seat of scoffers and the counsel of the wicked. The noise of the world. And how do you do that? By turning off on that and turning on to God's Word, reading it, meditating upon it. And as you read the Word of God, you'll come to see who God is. His magnificence, His power and glory, His strength, His sovereignty. The Lord rules and reigns will be affirmed to your soul. So no matter how shaking things are, you can be calm. You can be settled because of the Lord. Friends, we need to desperately do these things. Otherwise, we will be shaken. We will be alarmed. We might even lose our way. How we need to remember these vital things. In the stillness, behold your sovereign God. Remember that it is well with your soul. Because of Him. Trust in Jesus. Trust in the Father. Amen. And I just want to, before I close in prayer, I'd just like to read some really special words that I love so much. The words of our Lord Jesus from John chapter 10. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Amen. That's an amen, all right. What great words. It is really well with our soul. If we love the Lord Jesus, He will hold on to us forever. Let's pray. Well, Father, I think of the days we live in, and I know that things are going to get pretty hard, but we thank You so much that our soul is secure and our being is secure if we are in Jesus. And we thank You that You've promised to keep us and help us through all that we go through. And when it is time for us to go home, we know that we do have a home because we will never be lost. You hold on to us. We love those words in John 10. The Lord Jesus knows us by name and we are to follow Him. And we thank You that He has a place for us to go to. Lord, help us to be still and to take in Your truth and to allow Your Word to calm us down and to settle us. Thank You that You are strong and You are the sovereign Lord. And COVID doesn't reign, but You reign. And we thank You that in Your reign, You are seeking to save people as well as to keep Your people during this trying time. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. For any of us at the moment who are going through a really challenging time, it might not be COVID at all, it could be something else. Lord, please settle our hearts. May we find peace and joy in You as we commit our life to You, as we commit the circumstances of our life to You. And Lord, for any of us who aren't there yet, Lord, please help us to realize how much we need Jesus, not only to save us from our sins, but to also help us in this life. I pray, Lord, You draw us to Your Son. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.